Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
Time to wake up.
Hey, let's make it happen.
Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's the Bob and Sherry Show. And now broadcasting from the palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Well, welcome and nice to have you with us here on the Bob and Sherry Show. If you're a longtime listener, you know that if you're a new listener, you should know that the show is basically about four things. Crimes against us by spouses, and food, and animals, and the song Jolene. And so several weeks ago, Beyonce, of course, released that fantastic album, country album, Texas Hold'em. She is from Texas. And she did a cover of Dolly Parton's great song, Jolene, which we, for some reason, over the years, have always had discussions about. And there is an artist on this particular cut, the Jolene cut, who is very, very famous. And so I'm going to tell you who it is. If you don't know, if you do know, you'll enjoy hearing part of Jolene anyway. But I'll tell you who played on Beyonce's album, Texas Hold'em, and the Dolly Parton song. Let's listen.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. Jolene, I know I'm a queen. Jolene, I'm still a Creole banjo bitch from Louisiana.
Try me.
There's a thousand girls in every room that act as desperate as you do. You a bird, go on and sing your tune, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you, cause I hate to have to act a fool. Your piece depends on how you move, Jolene. Me and my man cross those valleys, highs and lows and everything between. Could be rolling like tumbling wheat. I sleep good, happy, cause you came to go up our planted seeds. I know my man's gonna stand by me, breathing in my gentle breeze.
So you can't hear it too well. I thought there might have been a lead, but I guess there's not. But you can hear it kind of hauntingly in the background, the harmonica. And that's Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I had no idea.
Whoa.
Yeah. I didn't either. Isn't that wild? He's a hell of a harmonica player. I mean, that man can blow the harp. That's how he started at the age of 12 with fingertips. But yeah, she got Stevie Wonder. I guess it probably wasn't too hard. She's Beyonce. She did a great job on that song, don't you think? I mean, it's a different interpretation, but it's a great one. I don't know how people are complaining about this album.
If you sit down and listen to all of Cowboy Carter, it's so good. And it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to get into the whole debate. Beyonce's from Texas.
No, I don't either.
This is not her first rodeo, dabbling in that genre. And I just feel like the racism and the misogyny is exhausting. I spend a lot more time on social media than you. And I'm like, oh my God, if I see one more hate post about Cowboy Carter, I'm going to have to pluck my eyeballs out and boil them on the stove. Like, this is just, oh my God, live and let live. Nobody's forcing you to buy it or do it or eat it or listen to it or wear it. Ah.
Do these people have just so much money they don't have to work? You know what I mean? That you would spend part of your day and this is your crusade. I mean, it's baffling to me. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
And don't listen to it. Like, just,
right.
It is so.
You can avoid it. You honestly can avoid it.
You can avoid it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing how much you can, like, there are so many things in this world that are irritating to you that you can avoid. Now, some of them, you know, your death, your taxes, your litter box, that stuff needs to be addressed. But other people's clothing and preferences and music, Lamar is correct. You can avoid that. Lamar, do you have any tips on how a person might be able to avoid that?
I would not turn on the radio to a channel that plays it. I would not purchase it on streaming. I would not put it on my Apple Play. Other than that, I can't see how it could get to me. I really don't.
That covers
don't
it. That covers it all.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. That covers it all. That's exactly right.
I feel safe. I feel safe. I do. I feel safe.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know, I just thought that I'd learned all of the things that a married man needs to know. And I've decided that I am still an idiot with relating to wives when you get right down to it. Just when I think that I've got new territory that I've plowed so I don't get myself in any trouble, I don't irritate her. All of a sudden, I step right in it. I step right in it. Here's Mary got a terrible night's sleep, you know, the other night. And when she has a terrible night's sleep, she gets up and I'm already in the studio, right? Because go to work so early. And I can hear her moving around when she gets up. And usually, you know, I'll say, hey, baby, how are you? You know, good morning. But I knew that she had a terrible night's sleep because she announced it in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. which is very disconcerting. So I decided I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to let her have her quiet time, let her have a couple of cups of coffee, look at her TikToks, and then I'll mosey into the kitchen, you know, with a break and just kind of test the water. So I got my cup of coffee, and I can see her in the other room. And I slowly move away, and she says, Bob, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say something? You usually say it's like a beautiful morning or something. Is something wrong? And I went, no, there's nothing wrong. Why didn't you say something to me? And I went, well, I know you didn't get a good night's sleep last night because you announced it at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, why didn't you, what does that have to do with anything? And then I said, I just didn't want to poke the sleeping bear. That was not.
That wasn't what that she meant when she said, say something.
That's not it.
No.
What was her response to being referred to as?
Not good. Bear? Not good. Not good. I've noticed that if you refer to a woman as anything larger than a chihuahua, It never gets you, you're going to be interrogated. You're going to be interrogated.
You know, as husband crimes go, that's a misdemeanor. Like, that's a big time misdemeanor.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. You should be let off with a warning for that. Don't you think? Like, what, that's,
and
that
I was
so not a crime.
But, you know, I mean, she said, you know, she just gave me the business. Oh, you think I look like a bear? How long have you thought I've looked like? Because she's very funny and she can riff, you know, pretty quickly. And we ended up laughing about it. But it was a stupid thing to say. You know, all you have to really do is feign ignorance. You know, that's the best thing as a husband when you're in a territory that could be dangerous. Fain? Just feign ignorance.
Openly embrace it in a minute. What are you doing? They ain't faking about it.
Embrace it.
Okay.
Yeah. Kevin never sleeps
that
well.
A long time ago.
Kevin never sleeps well. I mean, he doesn't. He's like a vampire. I'm not sure he sleeps at all. And when the alarm goes off, if he's grumbling, I just go. I either ignore him completely because I know he just wants to talk to himself, or I go, oh, did you have a bad night's sleep? I hate everything. I hate the world. Let's burn the house to the ground. And then what is he, you know, what is
just
he
get on his side.
Right?
Get on his
team,
side.
Buddy.
You know, that is part of being married. Even if your spouse, let's say she gets in a argument with somebody, and maybe she's over the line, she's overreacting, you have got to back her up 100%. Especially my wife, you got to say, you know what? The way the guy at the hardware store was talking to you, that's so, I never want to go back there again. And it's your favorite hardware store. I don't want to even go back there. You got to get behind them 1,000%. Unless it's something that's just awful. You know?
And that's all I want to hear. I want Kevin to go, who said that to you? We're done. That's it. We're selling everything and living in the car. Like, right. That is all I'm looking for.
Because that's all they want to hear. They just want to know that.
What is that sigh? Have you made this mistake?
Well, yeah. This shows that I'm an idiot. But like somebody will, you know, have this confrontation or whatever. And she's like, I just cannot believe that. And I'm sitting there going, because I'm trying to think, why would this person say that? And I'm like, what? Have you ever thought about the fact that that's
I know.
And then here's where, so all I need is for you to back me up. Can you back me? Yes. Let's go burn the place down. I mean, good God, let's do it.
I'm
trying to reason this out, and I know better. I know better.
It just doesn't work. Just say nothing. It's Bob and Sherry.
Morons, and the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With morons in the news.
Have you ever seen the Google Street View car coming through your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that thing?
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. I remember I saw one about 4 years ago in the old house. I was out in the yard, and here it came by. Kind of slow, and I waved. I thought it was really cool. So there's this guy named Coleman Ferguson. He's 37 years old, and he got that gig. He was paid to drive through neighborhoods with the Google Street View car. And the car, it has the Google logo on it, and then it has where you can go to see Street View on it. I mean, it's a thing. And it has, I think, 5 cameras that are attached. Including some mounting from the roof, on top of the roof with a camera. So Mr. Coleman Ferguson is driving his route, and I don't know if he thought he was going to try to finish early, but he started going very fast through these neighborhoods, really fast. At one point, a cop was sitting there, and he clocked Mr. Ferguson going with the Google Street View car 120 miles per hour. The cop threw on the lights and, of course, went after Mr. Ferguson. Ferguson sees the cop in the back and continues to drive, hitting 90, 100, 120 miles an hour. And at one point, he didn't realize where he was. He went airborne and went into a ravine with a creek. And that was the end. And, of course, he was arrested and hauled into court. He has to pay about $4,000 in fines, and he is awaiting his day in court. If there was ever a time not to do 120, would it not be in the Google car that everybody knows?
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious.
He probably needs a job, too.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you know what you're doing and you don't take any unnecessary risk, and you can drive on the beach, and it would be so much fun. But this one guy in Kuwait found out recently, if you're a little bit too reckless, things can go from fun to very bad in the blink of an eye. One minute you're driving along in your Toyota FJ Cruiser looking all cool. The next minute you're flying through the air and praying that the landing does not hurt. He rolled the FJ Cruiser, okay? And it would have been a cool thing to see on video, which it is, but he didn't just go over once. He flipped it twice, and he flew out the window because he wasn't wearing his seatbelt.
Oh, God.
And so the impact of the car, it shattered the windows and everything, and it continued rolling. He ended up being injected into the air about 15 foot in the air. He flipped over a couple of times and landed in the ocean. He did not get hurt. He was able to walk away from the fall. The car, though, didn't do so well. on top of rolling it twice, it was apparently pulled out to sea by the time the authorities got there, so it was soaking in the salt water, so the car is totaled.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
If you do something like this, if you roll a car and you're not wearing a seatbelt, you fly out the window and you survive, your friends are never going to let you live this down. It's an incredible video. Incredible.
And this story.
Do you think he survived because he landed in water and not on the pavement?
Yeah, it helped.
That would save his life.
Yeah. Yeah, it helped.
Well, this story is the cousin to the Google vehicle, Bob. This happened in Edinburgh, Scotland. There's a company there called Specsavers, and it's kind of like the businesses we have where you can go get your eyes checked and buy glasses, like America's Best or My Eye Doctor or whatever.
Right.
So does everybody know what a bollard is? A bollard are those cement things that they put to keep cars from driving into buildings.
Oh, yeah.
They have them outside Target in the shape of big red balls. They're everywhere now. And since September 11th and maybe a little before, they're everywhere. Well, in Edinburgh, on this one strip of downtown city street, they have submerged bollards. They're on hydraulics. So they can raise them when needed and lower them when not. So you might have a parade coming through. They drop the bollards and you've got the whole street.
Yeah.
And then they raise them like at night to protect the businesses. Well, the driver of a Specsavers van probably should maybe use his employee discount and go to Specsavers because he parked the vehicle on top of one of the submerged bollards.
Oh, no.
And a tourist named Aidan McNeils, who was visiting Edinburgh for the weekend, took a picture of what happened to the Specsavers van when the submerged bollard came up. And you can see that on the Bob and Sherry Facebook right now. Keep it here for comedian Matt Goldidge, a celebration of sugary breakfast cereal, the Bob and Sherry box office, and more. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
Have you got a year on your hands when you're not really going to be doing nothing and you'd like a cool gig traveling across the country? Well, if that is you, then, and plus now, let me say this, you can't have any nut allergies because Planters Peanuts wants you to come to work for them and be on the driving team of the Framed Mr. Peanut. Okay? They're searching for three people to join the team, and it's on a one-year detail, chauffeuring around Mr. Peanut in the one-of-a-kind Nutmobile. They're not letting the Wintermobile get ahead of them, okay? They got a Nutmobile. And the company says it's looking for somebody that's fun and creative and carefree, and they're in search of life's next nutty adventures. And you might wind up being a grand marshal of a parade, or you might be making appearances at different events and festivals, and you're going to be driving around the Nutmobile. And from being the all you got to do is you got to have a college education. You would be good if you had like a marketing degree or some sort of, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You can apply online to beapeanutbutter.com. And applicants will have to provide a resume and a cover letter and a short video of pitching themselves as the perfect addition to the team. We don't know if Mr. Peanut has the final say, but it seems like it would be a very, very cool job. What do y'all think?
I would love it.
I would love it. Hey, if you were speeding and the cop pulled you over and he comes up to the window, you could just say, "I'm just nuts. I'm just nuts."
Oh, how fun.
How's that going to work for you, Bob?
Probably not too well.
This might be better than the Wintermobile because there's only one of these. So there's no competition.
Right. I think
you're
right.
Yeah.
So if you're up for it, go online and apply.
This
is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It is time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Matt Golditch.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have two kids, and I'm worried about the future that they're growing up in, you know, because there's a lot of dumb people out there. It's 2024. There are still people that think that climate change is not real. If climate change is not real, then explain what happened to all of the rainforest cafes. You can't. Where did they go? We're in Midtown Manhattan. We should be surrounded by them. And they're trying to make more dumb people, too, you know? They're banning books in schools in certain states. It's crazy. When I was a kid in school, if there was a book they did not want us to read, they would just assign it to us. And then we would not read it. That was a good system. That worked well for a long time. I don't know why we changed that. I didn't even know that To Kill a Mockingbird was like making me too woke or whatever. I never made it past the first 10 pages. I honestly don't even know if that's the right book for that joke, you guys. I never finished it. I'm sorry. Yeah. School's a lot different. It's better in some ways for my kids. When I was a kid, we would sit cross-legged, and they would call that Indian style. You can't say Indian style anymore. It's offensive. My kids call it crisscross applesauce, because that's how applesauce sits. We used to rub noses. They would call that Eskimo kissing. And now, of course, they call it Alaskan Indigenous consensual nasal touching. And I think that's... Thank you, yeah. It's way better. I'm trying to expand my horizons and learn more about the world, you know, become smarter. I'm trying to watch more foreign films. I like when I'm watching a movie and two characters are talking in Spanish and they'll subtitle the whole conversation and then one of them will say, gracias, and then they don't subtitle it. It's like, hell yeah, I know that one, yeah. 4 years of high school French finally paying off. We got this. Two kids was tough during the pandemic, tough to entertain them all day, you know, without resorting to screen time. So we would mostly just have them listen to true crime podcasts. I was like, no, you're not going to watch Paw Patrol. That is going to rot your brain. We are going to sit here and solve this murder as a family. That's how today's going to go. My son figured out who killed Epstein. We were all very proud. Turns out it was Epstein. Wasn't that hard. My son is almost old enough to walk to school by himself. And sometimes I'll see kids who look a little older than him and they're walking to school by themselves. And I want to ask them, hey, how old were you when your parents let you start walking to school by yourself? But of course you can't, because then you're the reason they can no longer walk to school by themselves. It's a real paradox. And my daughter is 4. I want her to understand, you know, that boys and girls can grow up to do all the same things. It's hard. I have to remember to like model that behavior for her. She came into the room, she was wearing a pretty pink dress, and I was like, oh my God, look at you, you look so good at science. You know, I caught myself, and her self-esteem is through the roof now. She wants to see Oppenheimer instead of Barbie. We're all very proud. Say it with me, we need more women building atomic bombs. Am I right? Thank you. My daughter said to me recently, she said, Daddy, why do you have two noses? And I think she meant nostrils, but still, felt a little anti-Semitic. Am I right? In this climate. Gotta be careful now that I'm 44 not to be too creepy, you know? Certain things you cannot do as a 44-year-old man. Like if a friend of mine wishes his daughter a happy 18th birthday on social media, I cannot like that post. That is a trap. Yeah. And I definitely should not have commented, finally, that one's on me, I'll take the hit. No, here's the thing. I'm allowed to make these jokes because I'm not actually attracted to 18-year-old women. If I see an 18-year-old woman walking down the street, the only thing I ever think to myself is, oh man, I wonder if she would watch my kids so I could go to Costco by myself. Wouldn't that be a hot Saturday night? Actually, I'm not being fair. My son, my 8-year-old, he loves going to Costco with me. He likes the free samples that they give out there, which is ironic considering he's never paid for food once in his life. All right, thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it.
Dark.
Very dark. That is Matt Golditch. We're going to post that up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Don't go anywhere because Bob's going to tell us a handful of things that we need to kick off each day with in order to be living our very best lives. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
The Huffington Post online has a wellness section written by Katherine Pearson. And this week she writes 5 things you should do first thing in the morning to be happier all day long. So here we go. Let's see if you can do these, and maybe you are doing them already. Number 1, pick a wellness habit and then link it to the morning when you wake up. For instance, one simple strategy would be taking 10 breaths, 10 breaths. Or maybe you're intrigued by your beautiful sights outside your window. If you live in the city, a skyline. If you live in suburbs, you're looking at the flowers that are coming up. It's springtime or something like that. Just focusing on something beautiful. Now, if you do morning radio, this is out because it is dark and you don't have 1 second to spare to get to work. So that's kind of out for us. But I like the idea.
I just had a family member say, you know, Sherry, maybe you could begin every day with a workout. And I'm like, no, I absolutely cannot. Now, see, that's a bad attitude. I'm like, no, I mean, like the working out would begin around 3 a.m. And that's not today. Right. That's the middle of last night.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Number 2, and this is one my wife will never stop doing. Get the phone out of your room. Do not have your screen in your room. Whether it's a television, a tablet, a phone, do not leave it there. And do not make it the first thing you look at when you open your eyes in the morning. Because if you've got a news feed, I got to tell you, folks, if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there. So you just wake up, you're a little groggy, you look over at your phone, and there's, you know, some war, some horrible man is doing something to people wherever. Not a good idea. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that, folks?
Yeah.
Do you do this yourself?
Whether I agree with it or not, I have my phone in my room and I'm not changing. So
I'm going to be miserable. Yeah. I'm with you, Sherry.
Yeah. Sorry. Then I have to go and try to find a clock radio like at a yard sale? Get out of here. I need my phone. It's my alarm.
That's an excuse. That's an excuse.
Yeah, that's my alarm.
Only 2 things should be happening in a bedroom. Sleep is one of them. Okay.
And the other one is watching the History Channel till you fall asleep. Everybody knows that.
Yes.
Number 3, talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Use your own name to talk to yourself. I do too. I do this.
Matt,
I wake
up. I never say nothing good to myself. I never say nothing good. I say you're an idiot. I say that all the time.
I don't say I'm an idiot, but I say, how did you make so many bad choices over your life? Good morning. I know. Don't do that.
I got you nothing say something positive like, to say for my own self. I got nothing.
This is what you should say. You've done this before. You like doing this. You take control of your life. It's like Jay Leno used to say to comedians who were going on the Tonight Show for the first time who were scared. Leno would say, here's what you do to get over this. Just say, I like being here. I like being here. And he said it worked like a charm. They would calm down and they'd go out there and, you know, have a better time. You can also make social contact when you just wake up with somebody you have a positive regard for. It could be your spouse or a child or a friend or an extended family member. You know, I don't know why I'm not doing this. I think at 4:45 in the morning, calling my daughter Allie and just saying, I've been thinking about you. I think that's a great idea. That wouldn't tick her off
tempted.
At all.
Oh, no, but tell me you're not tempted.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Hey, Olivia. Hey, girl, it's mommy. Just, you know, thinking about you. Oh, yeah, I know what time it is. Yeah, I sure do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Going to get some money to pay for your clothing, pay for your food. That's right. Yeah, that would be a fantasy to do that. And do it to a different person every day. The people who call you when you're on the air, right? And finally, and this one you really can't argue with, incorporate gratitude. Incorporate gratitude. Whether you're religious or not, take a pause to appreciate that you're alive and things are going pretty good. Be grateful that things are going pretty good.
There you go.
So there you go, folks. Change your life. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
So I was just thinking something last night, Max, and it was about you. And I was thinking about it as I was picking my favorite Cadbury little tiny chocolate eggs out of Kevin's Easter basket. I don't know why the Easter Bunny didn't bring me a basket. I guess I was a bad girl. Easter Bunny brought everybody else in this house an Easter basket. So I'm rummaging around in his basket, which the Easter Bunny did fill with things I like, which I thought was very decent of the Easter
yes.
Bunny to do.
Yes.
And as I was rummaging around and eating these little tiny delicious Cadbury chocolate eggs, I thought, you know what? Max probably hasn't had one of these in 3 or 4 years. You
yeah,
have done, round right. of applause, you've done so well giving up yes. sugar. I don't know anybody that's thank done you. As well
yeah.
as you have.
I'm very impressed.
I mean, there must be things you miss.
But Sherry, I would kill for a big bowl of Cap'n Crunch with some ice cold whole milk on it.
Oh, buddy.
And maybe a second bowl after that.
Listen,
dude, that's charms, what you miss, baby. Yeah. Lucky charms.
Yes,
that's what you miss.
Cereal is the greatest thing ever.
More than any expensive dessert, I miss
yes.
a bowl
really?
Of cereal.
Now, when you stopped, you know, including anything with sugar in your diet, did you exclude things like pasta?
Yes,
because sugar is buried.
Yes,
you know, in almost everything.
To answer that question, yes, that and bread and rice and all that stuff.
So you would rather have Captain Crunch and cold milk than spaghetti and meatballs?
Yes.
I would rather have a bowl of Frosted Flakes. I can't have cow's milk with ice cold almond milk than go to Paris and eat a fancy, unpronounceable dessert. That's how much I
love it. It's more satisfying. I'm a Lucky Charms guy. Always have been because...
They're magically delicious.
They're magically delicious, but they're not. They're sweet, but it's not teeth hurt sweet. Okay, but and what I do is I justify this. I justify this because I will take a bowl, and I don't know what they're talking about on a serving of cereal. That's ridiculous. I don't know what that is. I'm satisfied by the time I get me a Jethro bowl. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about I get a bowl. All right, I get a bowl.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to keep going back. I don't have to keep going back. And what I do is I put the Captain Crunch in the bottom of the bowl. And then I put Fiber One cereal, which is very good for me, on top of the Captain Crunch. So then I have to eat my way through the Fiber One to get, I'm not Captain Crunch, but Lucky Charms. I have to eat the Fiber cereal to get to the Lucky Charms. So
hey, Lamar,
I'm helping myself
this is so
and
sexy.
Rewarding myself at the same time.
Oh, Lamar had a dog like that. He had to have special medicated food, but he rejected it. So I'd have to put a couple of spoonfuls of some, like, I don't know, Little Caesar chefy dog, supermarket dog food on top to trick him into eating his healthy food. Yeah, it's a strategy. But Fiber One with the marshmallow. Do you know you can buy a whole bag of just the marshmallow treats from Lucky Charms on Amazon? Did you know that?
That's wrong. It's wrong. That's not how they were made. It's not how they were made. Listen, Cracker Jacks. Cracker Jacks. I eat the Cracker Jacks to get those three dang peanuts that's in there that are so good. Then they sell the peanut. No, you got to fight the Cracker Jack to get the reward of the peanut. That's how that works.
I could go the rest of my life and never eat breakfast cereal and not miss it at all.
We don't know you,
Bob. That's weird.
We do not know you. We do not know you.
I
that
just
like
don't
is serial killer profile data to me.
No,
like,
it's
what?
Not.
That
I like
so
spaghetti
weird.
And meatballs. If I had to have Max's diet, the thing I would be craving would be carbs. like pasta. That would, I'd be thinking about it all day long until I drove myself out of my mind.
Honey bunches of oats.
Oh, yeah.
You could, my God, honey bunches of oats. Yes. Yes, please, to the honey bunches of oats. You know what, Bob Lacey? I'm starting to look at you funny because out of nowhere, suddenly Bob likes to work in the yard. So you won't eat cereal and you're digging a lot of holes in the backyard.
You know, it's amazing that you never knew this about me. I have spent most of my life with you. Do you realize that? I have spent the majority of my life talking. I've talked to you more than any human being in my life, including my parents.
Oh, God, so true. So true. Back at
you. And you didn't know this about me, see?
You're not bragging about it. I mean, I'd keep that to myself, too, because nobody in America doesn't love cereal. Oh, my God.
Oh, I think plenty of people just couldn't care less. There's people listening right now who agree with me.
He hates Pop-Tarts, too.
I don't like Pop-Tarts.
Those sugar cinnamon frosted Pop-Tarts when I was a kid. Oh.
Awful.
Oh.
I'd rather put it in the toaster and
get it with a little singe on it. Oh, that's good stuff.
Listen, I'll get the unfrosted and put butter on top of them and then put them in the toaster. Oh, my God.
How are you still alive?
Lamar, I swear to God, you put butter on your wallet before you stick it in your pants. I have never seen a man who supported the butter industry more.
And you know what's in the wallet? It's not money. It's bacon. It's bacon.
Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
This is a very important public service announcement that is especially important right now because we're in allergy season. So a Scottish man in his 30s tried to stifle a sneeze. He pinched his nose and closed his mouth. And a sneeze has so much force and power to it that he tore a hole open in his throat and had to be rushed to the hospital. He was driving when it happened. Wow. He's had lifelong allergies. He closed his mouth, pinched his nose. Here comes the sneeze. He was in so much pain, he couldn't turn his head. He drove himself to the emergency department. When doctors touched his neck, they heard a terrible cracking sound. So they had to bring in a team of cardiothoracic surgeons, and they investigated. And they said he tore a hole in his esophagus, suppressing that sneeze. So the moral of the story for you is, I don't care if you're at work, I don't care if you're at church, I don't care where you are or what you're doing, do not stifle your sneeze because you can tear open your trachea. This guy
made the
medical
journals.
Unless
you're in line at the supermarket. Unless you're at line in the supermarket, you know, there's a lot of people.
Behind Bob.
Yeah, right. Then you need to, you know, just roll the dice a little bit because that's disgusting.
They had to keep him in the hospital for 48 hours. I don't think they keep heart transplant patients that long anymore in the United States.
Sneezing behind Bob would just plain be selfish. So
it would be selfish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Stay home.
That's right.
Okay. Just stay home.
Hey, it's a good thing he didn't have an upset stomach because he would have torn something else, I guess. Right.
Oh my gosh, it took 5 weeks to heal.
Wow.
So
I've never heard of that.
No, I mean, it can happen. Now, this guy really had a powerful sneeze going, but just try to remember that your sneeze can rip a hole in your throat. So do not stifle it. It's Bob and Sherry. Yep.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
It is time now for Talk Back Time. This is the portion of the show where we listen to the thoughts of one of our wonderful listeners. And if you would like to join us with something that you have a comment on, could be on the show, could be in your life, 844-52-SHERRY. Leave us a message. We might get back to you, by the way. Or go to wherever you get your apps, get the Bob and Sherry app, hit the little microphone, and leave us the message. And here we go.
Good morning, Bob, Sherry, Max, Lamar, and Doc. I just wanted to say, if I ever go to a comedy show again, I need to go with Lamar because his laugh during your skits are so, it's just so funny. And when I was about 18 years old, I went to a comedy show with my brother and my mom and my boyfriend, who's now my husband. And I laughed so hard that my brother and my mom were laughing at me instead of the comedian. And I felt embarrassed and out of place. But if I was with Lamar, I think we'd be great together. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Bye.
That's you know, if she went, it is. And he has a great laugh. If you two went to that show together, they would put you right down front, or they would hear you and then move you right down front, because there ain't nothing that a comedian likes more than to hear that. Absolutely. Yeah. Nothing.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that. That is true.
Yeah. It really is.
We have another one.
Hi, Bob and Sherry. This is Belinda in North Carolina. I was listening to the podcast about the red flags for dating, and the first one was easygoing. Well, when I first met my husband, and then my ex-husband, I thought, well, this is the most easygoing man ever. But that was just the rose-colored dating glasses. It turned out that he was the biggest procrastinator ever. So you have to be careful with that one, because easygoing's fine, but never getting anything done is terrible.
So girl, let me just say when you said careful of an easygoing man, my brain immediately jumped to shipping containers, duct tape, rope, that, you know, isolated country location,
chainsaw.
It did not go
too much
to
lifetime
procrastinator. Yeah, although
I never thought,
you know,
about that.
It is very true. Like, I'm married to a man with ADHD. He doesn't procrastinate. He starts things, and then he sees something else he wants to do, and he goes and does that a little bit. And then he finds some, and so on and so on and so on. And then he circles back and eventually finishes everything. But he doesn't start, go all the way through, and end the way that I do. So that took some getting used to. But I still would rather be with an easygoing person than, you know, a wound up nut job. I mean, I'm a wound up nut job. There can't be two of us.
I just wonder, what was he procrastinating about? Because I'm listening to what you just said.
Everything.
And it doesn't seem like the sort of, you know, the sort of man that you would say, oh, he didn't finish caulking the bathroom. You're out of my life. I wonder, what was he procrastinating about that was a crime against the marriage? Or just a thousand cuts.
Everything.
A thousand
just
cuts.
Just a thousand
everything.
Cuts.
Yeah. Yeah, he just procrastinates about everything. He puts it all off.
Because you always think of divorce as being more serious than that. You know what I mean? Saying, I want to end this marriage. It's over infidelity. It's over overspending. It's lying or something like that. But saying, I'm not going to clean out the garage. You know, I said I would.
After a while, it accumulates, and then it adds up to, you're not really a partner. You're one more obligation that I have to take care of.
Inaction.
You're not helping. Yeah, you're not helping with this life.
Inaction.
You're just
another child. Inaction is an action.
Very well stated. Yeah.
Ooh, very deep, Max. Very deep.
I can tell you from personal experience.
I have a friend whose husband starts projects and never finishes them. And I mean, when I say starts a project, I mean like he's going to dig his own in-ground pool and then doesn't finish it. That kind of project. She would so much rather he had a handful of mistresses on the side and would fill the hole in the backyard. Yeah. I can see how that drives people crazy.
Is it always the guy that who's the procrastinator in a relationship?
No.
I had one that didn't procrastinate, just didn't do anything.
But she made that clear from the jump, so shame on you for not
that's
listening.
True. Shame on me. I know. I apologize. Once again, I'm sorry. To a woman.
She had that written into the vows.
Yeah.
And I do swear to not do anything.
I made a,
It wasn't a tornado, it was a hurricane.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
This summer, we're headed to Margaritaville Beach Resort at Fort Myers Beach for our trip for teachers to Florida. You can nominate a teacher to join this vacation now from Visit Florida at bobandsherry.com. So here's the basic gist of the story. Married couple, they have a handful of little kids. The mom has three different part-time jobs and takes care of the kids. She's fried. She's completely crispy. And she says to her husband, I am so burnt out. I just need a day. So he's like, yeah, of course, you definitely need a day. So she's got a gift certificate for a massage and she makes a reservation at a hotel in town. And the plan is she's going to get this massage. She's going to take a couple of Tylenol PM and pull the blackout drapes and get some sleep. Just a little 24-hour self-care break for mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So off she goes. Bye. Love you. Have a good time. Bye, kids. Mom, you'll be back tomorrow. She goes, she gets her massage. She checks into the hotel. She's got the, you know, she's reachable. You can call her on, she's got the phone silenced, but you can text her. Pops her Tylenol PMs, goes to sleep. Her husband, meanwhile, calls her family, her parents and siblings, and I can't find her. She's gone. Something's happened. She's missing. Puts a missing post up on Facebook. We're desperate. Where is Michelle? She's oblivious. Her sister is frantic, races over to the house. I'm going to take care of the kids. You see if you can't find her. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. And he goes off and just has himself, probably goes and has some chicken wings and watches basketball or whatever at a sports bar. Meanwhile, her family is out of their minds because we've all seen enough Dateline to know that a mom vanishes, it tends to not have a happy ending. She wakes up to all of these texts and phone missed calls and please, we love you. Come home. We miss you. And she's like, I'm at the Holiday Inn Express. Why didn't like Dave or whatever his name was tell you? And so she's furious because she's like, I asked for one day, one 24 hour period for a little bit of self-care. And he did this.
Yeah.
Am I wrong for feeling like completely betrayed? So there's no answer. I have no idea what is going on in this family or this marriage. But I sat there last night looking at this on Reddit and went, what? Who does this?
The tone deaf. I mean, it's a guy that just cannot see the chess move two moves down the road. You're not going to get away with it. I mean, this guy is so stupid. You're not going to get away with it. It's not going to be, oh, I didn't call. I didn't post or anything like, I didn't call your sister. You're going to get caught and people are going to hate you. The sister, the wife, probably the kids.
If I'm her daddy and he calls me to think my daughter was possibly dead for 12 hours, I'm walking straight in that front door and I'm whooping his ass. I'm whooping his ass.
Thank you. I'm waiting behind you to finish him off, okay? Like, I'm right there.
I mean, listen, I'm taking my belt off like he was 10 years. I'm whooping his. I mean, this is ridiculous. I cannot imagine the turmoil that her parents went through.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
The selfishness of this man. The selfishness. You couldn't give her one day. Not one day.
Or have the stones to say no. We're not doing that. No, I'm not going to do
that. One or the other. Yeah. Own your selfishness. Look her in the face and go, I don't care how tired and exhausted and unhappy and crazy you are. Suck it up, biatch. But no, he did this. The selfishness. I have to say that it would be hard for me to stay in that marriage.
Oh, I couldn't.
After this.
No.
How could you trust him again? I mean, seriously, how could you trust the guy? First of all, you are so embarrassed in front of your family, not because of what he did, but because of your choice of marrying this idiot. You know, how could you marry a guy who at his core would do something like this?
But see,
I got to tell you,
this guy feels no remorse. He feels zero remorse. Yeah. He feels none. He's justified in his head.
Until Kevin, my family didn't like any boy or man I dated. So you can get used to that feeling. You can live with that feeling, I promise you.
But you made such good choices before.
Oh, I did. I can pick them. the selfishness of this man. And, you know, people say, I love you. But it's your actions that matter. Anybody can say any sweet thing. Yeah. But your actions show who you really are and how you really feel.
She'll never get over that. She will never get over it.
He views her with contemptuous disregard.
It's true.
He needs, you know what, Lamar? I don't think her daddy went over there and gave him a beating. So it's you and me, brother. No. We ride at dawn.
Give me the address. We ride.
Straight ahead, if you're sharing your bed with a dog, I have some news. Uh-oh. And I'm not sure you're going to love it. Uh-oh. It's next. Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
I believe this.
So this is not great news for people who sleep with their dogs. And let me just say, as a doormat, undisciplined pushover who, if I had a horse, it would be in my bed with me. No judgment here. My animals have always slept anywhere they pleased, including on top of me in my bed. This is very bad news for people who sleep with dogs. And unfortunately for you dog lovers, it's very good news for people who sleep with cats. It turns out that sleeping with your dog in your bed negatively impacts your sleep and disrupts it. And people who co-sleep with their dogs have poorer sleep and more issues with insomnia than people who don't sleep with dogs. There is zero evidence for co-sleeping with cats. And that might be because cats, unless you have like Max a week or so ago was taking care of a friend's chihuahua, and the chihuahua was smaller than Max's shoe. So if you have a dog that small, it's maybe not a big deal. Cats tend to be smaller than dogs and don't necessarily want to snuggle with you. I don't know. But the interesting part of this is, even though sleeping with your dog is like super bad for your sleep, almost 100% of people who sleep with their dogs tell you, oh no, this is not a problem for me at all. This dog does not disrupt my sleep at all.
Well, I'm going through this right now. As a matter of fact, I can't believe you're talking about this. This just happened last night. Finn sleeps. Sometimes he'll start off at the foot of the bed on my side, and then he'll jump in the middle of the night. He's got two beds in our room, and he's going to decide one or the other, and then he goes to sleep. The problem is that he will, in the middle of the night, have a dream. And you all of a sudden he's breathing a little harder and he's going like that. Wakes up, Mary, just like that. Sometimes I don't wake up. He's also got some sort of a cough thing going on. We've taken to the vet and we've eliminated it that it's anything serious, but he's like clearing his throat. I'm going to take him back to the vet once again. She said to me when I just saw her very briefly, she said, either you have to go into the guest room with Finn or I have to go into the guest room. I have got to get some sleep. So
isn't
I hear what
amazing.
You're saying. Yeah. Well, and Bob, we both love him so much and we want him, you know, close to us. But, you know, she has a half a dozen people that she talks to every day with her work, and she's got to get sleep.
Well, yeah. Thanks. You too. you're not talking to a half
I don't
a dozen
hear it as much.
A day.
I don't hear it as much as she does.
The thing that is interesting to me, Finn is the best dog. He's truly one of the best dogs I've ever known. He's enormous. When he stands up, he and I are the same size. So that's a big dog to be sharing your bed with. I mean, poor Max. Now he's down to one schnauzer. But there was a while there where Max was squeezed in with a couple of schnauzers.
Mm-hmm.
Does Darby sleep with you guys, Lamar?
No, she will every once in a while. Carla's out of town for a couple of days, and she sleeps with me then. But she sleeps at the foot of the bed. I want her to snuggle. I really, really do. But she's not having it. I mean, she's not. And every once in a while, she will come in and she'll lay down on the bed before I get there. And she only leaves me like 6 inches of bed, but she's laying there. I will maneuver myself to make, I will sleep on the edge. I would sleep on the edge of a cliff for this crazy dang dog to sleep beside me.
I do the same thing.
Once I get situated and I'm not going to fall off the bed, I doze off. Well, when I wake back up again, she's already moved. And I'm still over here like I'm thinking she's close to me. But she's not a clinger. She's not a clinger.
She's gigantic, too. I mean, Max is, Mojo is a miniature schnauzer. He's not a big boy. But, I mean, Max doesn't sleep well, right?
No, I do not sleep well because of the dog. That is correct. I will say that, yes. He chases squirrels in his sleep and then, of course, has 2:30 a.m. walkings he wants to go on.
Right, right.
I'm gonna post this up on Facebook. I don't have a dog right now because Sam went across the Rainbow Bridge. But yeah, sleeping with Sam, I used to feel like I was in a throuple. I got Sam, I got Kevin, I'm like clinging to the edge of the bed, then the four cats are walking on my head. Let me get this up on our Facebook and you check it out for yourself. I mean, let's be honest, none of us are going to change. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
So I was reading this story about a woman whose name is Kaylee Morgan. She is a wife and a stay-at-home mother. And she was having a tough pregnancy, so she went to the local Grimes County library and she took out 5 books. And because of the pregnancy, because she had postpartum after the baby was born, she forgot about the books. And she went to get her driver's license, and they said, your driver's license is suspended because of something you owe. She owed $540 to the public library in Grimes County. And so she goes before a judge, and the judge says, pay the money. You owe the money. You signed an agreement with the library card. And she said, I don't have the money. I'm just going to be honest. We don't have $540 that we can. And the judge said, I don't care. He was a hanging judge in Texas. And he said, I don't care what your situation is. This is what you owe. And so I was thinking about it. And I thought to myself, if I were the judge, I would have let her off. The woman had postpartum. She's got an infant. She's breastfeeding. I would let her off. But then I'm trying to look at how the judge is looking at it, and he is a no-nonsense judge. No matter what it is, he's going to follow the law. And I thought to myself, you know, I'll give the judge a little bit of credit because that's just the way he is as a judge. And then I read one other piece of information about Kaylee Morgan. She has 5 children, and they're all homeschooled. And she's nursing an infant. I have to tell you, folks, I'd rather go to jail. I would rather go to...
It'd be more restful.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Homeschooling 5 kids, including one you're breastfeeding? Are you kidding me? That is a hard-hearted Texas judge, if I've ever heard of one. Oh, my word. What people go through. What people go through to have a family. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
I am having the most ridiculous fangirl experience right now because joining us on the show is one of my all-time favorite performers. You may know her as Shelby Corcoran on Glee. You may know her for her Broadway roles in Rent, and she was the original Elphaba in Wicked, my favorite show ever, and as Queen Elsa in Disney's Frozen. I am overcome. Idina Menzel, welcome to the show.
That was
was the best. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. You have no idea what an epic fan I am. My children know every word to every song on Wicked. They were breastfed to the soundtrack. They've been raised on it. I just think you are one of the most amazing talents out there. And Frozen as a movie is so wonderful and unexpected and empowering.
Yeah, thank you.
For people who haven't seen it, like Bob, who, you know, has not yet gone to see Frozen, tell us in your own words about the character you play, Queen Elsa.
Okay, Bob, this is for you.
I'm ready. I'm taking notes.
It's about two sisters, okay? But they're really good looking. Mm-hmm. And they're really close, and the one sister, Elsa, that I play, has these powers to be where she can turn, when she gets really emotional, she can turn things into ice and snow. And
I married someone like that once.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh.
Continue.
Anyway, she has to flee the castle because something happens with the powers, and you know, she freaks everybody out, and then her sister goes on a long journey to find her and help her, and pretty much there you have it. But what's beautiful about it is that, you know, it's very traditional Disney in a lot of ways, but it's modern in its kind of themes, and you know, it's not about the prince and the guy coming in to save the day. It's about family and bonds and
another kind of true love.
Sherry was saying that it is Disney in a lot of ways because of the class and because of the high production value and all. But in many ways, it kind of turns Disney upside down. It's not what you expect.
Yeah, it's they are pushing the bar for themselves and raising the bar for themselves, and mm-hmm. It's a great thing. And the girls are tough chicks, you know, and the boys like it too. I have a 4-year-old little boy, and he sings a song back to his mommy. But you know, I am the character.
You are Queen Elsa, of course.
that must be wonderful.
It is. Actually, that's one of the best things in the last month that's happened. I mean, everything is terrific, obviously, but to have him singing with his little dinosaurs and singing the song back to me.
That is so cute.
And, of course, the song that we played opening up, Let It Go, has been nominated for Best Original Song. And Frozen is actually nominated for Best Animated Feature.
I've been in a lot of shows and Broadway and stuff where, you know, you're involved from early on in the process because mm-hmm. they're original pieces. And so I love that. I love sitting down with composers and having them create with you sort of by their side. And that was, you know, sort of this is a creature that Bobby Lopez and his wife Kristen, you know, being from the theater as well, that's how they like to work. And so it's just it just felt very organic, and it was comfortable, and it was supportive, a very supportive environment. And I love working with Kristen Bell, and it was all around a great experience.
I think Kristen Bell surprised a lot of people with her chops vocally.
I know.
And what could be more intimidating than to find out that you were going to be cast as the other singing sister with you, Idina Menzel? It was an amazing performance, I thought.
Your resume is so amazing right now. Can you recall the first time anybody paid you to perform on stage?
Well, that depends. Can we count, like, Temple Beth Shalom, Israel, and Long Island as a wedding singer for $100?
Yes, yes, of course.
Okay, well, then that's, you know, I sang the Haftorah, and I sang a little Hot, 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 and
you sang Hot, Hot, Hot?
Miami Sound Machine, you know, a little Come On Everybody, Let's Do the Conga.
Did you
maybe Flashdance that night I sang.
Did you have enough confidence to say, someday I may be where you are now?
Yeah, I was always a little cocky when it came to that, and mm-hmm. and the longer the wedding scene went on for me, and the longer I didn't have a job, and the, mm-hmm. and you know where I wanted, the more attitudinal I got at the wedding, a little bit more gum smacking, and like, you know, I'm too good for this, and that's why it probably took me longer in my life to have the success, because I had to figure out who I was.
Well, your career is so interesting because you really are, you know, that old-fashioned expression, star of stage and screen. I mean, you really have worked in every medium now.
Yeah, and just it's great to have a balance. You know, being 8 shows a week, theater person, it's my home. It's what I love more than anything in the world, live performance. But it's very grueling, that schedule. And so it's nice to be able to go into the recording studio and or do, you know, some film and TV. And it makes you appreciate everything that much more.
Well, I can hardly wait to get home and tell my kids, who I talked to on the phone today for the Bob and Sherry Show, Idina Menzel, the star of Disney's Frozen, nominated for an Academy Award, star of Fox TV's Glee. Continued success. It's been a real pleasure and treat speaking to you.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. You should come to my show in New York.
I am going to.
I think you'd like it.
Terrific.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
My friend, Peter Neary, I've known him since we were in elementary school. We get together every couple of years. He's a musician. He lives in Vermont. And of course, if you live in Vermont, you know everybody else who lives in Vermont. There are 600,000 people who live in Vermont. Everybody knows everybody else. And he obviously knows really great musicians. And he sent me a video of a woman, and I hate myself for not knowing about her before this. Her name is Grace Potter, and she has a group, and she's out of Vermont. And the video, I wish you could see it right now. You can go to YouTube and see it. Grace Potter, she plays keyboards, and she's very good at that. But when she leaves the keyboards and just goes out with a mic in her hand, she is absolutely awesome. And here's a little taste of Grace Potter.
I don't need no destination. I got everywhere to go. I'm a walking invitation. I'm the daughter of the mother of. When I need is a distraction, when my world is closing in. Hey stranger, where are you headed? Would you like to let the games begin? He said, jump on it, cause I don't wanna be late for Thunder Road. And I said, ready, set, go. Oh, yeah. When I met the master moon, she had 5 babies on the loose. I helped her scoop them up, she let me ride in her caboose. She took me to her congregation, buy a ticket, save your soul. They say in the end all is forgiven, but I say, you haven't met my ghost. I got some heavy baggage, and she helped me with my load. Singing, ready, set, go.
And there she is, Grace Potter. So I saw her interview. She was interviewed. And they said, how come not everybody knows about you? And she said, well, you know, it's tough in show business. I am at this point what's referred to sometimes as a micro celebrity, a micro celebrity. And there are thousands and thousands of us. And I thought about that. And I guess there have been micro celebrities forever. But today, because of the internet and YouTube and all of this, there are people that the majority of Americans or people of the world don't know, but they have a hardcore following, and they are as big as Jay Leno or as big as Madonna to their hardcore followers. And unless Grace Potter gets a commercial hit, that's going to be her world, her gig. And I get she tours, she sells out clubs, and I guess auditoriums all over the place. But I've never heard of this great woman. And I had never thought of the micro celebrity. And that is the era that we're in. I saw somebody who's going to be taking over one of the reality shows. And she came from Vanderpump Rules. And she's the new host of one of those island, you know, get away. You live in an island, you find out you hate everybody except for one guy you marry or whatever it is. And she's the new host of it. I've never heard of her before because I'm not a part of that micro world of Vanderpump Rules.
I don't do the Vanderpump Rules thing either. There just are not enough hours in the day for all
right.
of the things that you would like to watch. Like I dip in and out and I follow a lot of the social on it, but yeah, her voice was insane. Her voice was really amazing.
And she moves like Jagger, to use the expression. She has total, this was in a recording studio, but she has total control of a stage. She's just amazing. But there really are so many people who have followings on YouTube or TikTok, and they are micro celebrities. And who knows? Some of them will be around for years and years and years. Some of them will come and go in 1 year. And it, you know, I know there were B-list actors and actresses, you know, back in the grandparents' era, but not like now. And it goes back to what I said years ago. Everybody wants to be in show business, and it's getting to be that way. But this is one who should be worldwide. Grease Spotter. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's Bob and Sherry, the podcast.
Okay, so let me share with you a Twitter thread from a woman named Ika who writes, "Today is the 17th anniversary of the worst date I've ever been on. I was away at college and couldn't afford to go home for the Easter holiday, so a friend from one of my classes invited me to his house for dinner with a few mutual friends. He picks me up, we drive an hour to his mom's house, and when we get there, he tells me, oh, all of our friends couldn't make it, so it's just the two of us, and his mother and his grandma. Kind of awkward, but not terrible, until we sit down for dinner, and it is revealed to me that he told his family that we are dating. Not just dating, but engaged. Oh. And his mom and grandmother have planned our honeymoon. A honeymoon, I should add, that they plan to join us on because we are going to Germany. Mind you, he and I have never even been on a date before. We hung out a dozen times or so working on projects. We were friends, but not romantic. I didn't know he felt that way, but I was locked in. We were in BFE, Utah, so I couldn't just walk back to my apartment. I rode out the evening. He took me on a silent car ride home. I was so shaken that it wasn't until the next day that I realized I didn't have my wallet. Come to find out, he stole it so I would have a reason to talk to him again. He wasn't listening to me anytime I told him I didn't want anything to do with him. So I hooked up with his roommate, and that's how he finally got the message. Do not tell Hallmark about this. They'll get the wrong idea and think this is a love story for the ages.
Oh my God. That whole thing is bizarre. You send a message by hooking up with a roommate? I mean,
that's what you focused on?
Yeah, it was.
He stole her wallet. He lied and told his mother and grandmother they were engaged. The mother and grandmother were going on their honeymoon to Germany. He had it all planned.
Yeah, I know. I mean, all of that is obvious, but that hooking up with a roommate to get the point across kind of came out of nowhere.
Does this not sound like George Costanza in Seinfeld? Doesn't this all sort of sound like that?
A little bit, yeah. Is it creepy or is it just dorky?
It's creepy. Yeah. He lied. It's so hyper creepy. It's beyond, like, this isn't dorky. This isn't dorky at all. This is creepy. I mean, think about it.
What's the worst part of all of the things that he did?
He stole her wallet.
Ooh, yeah. Stolen the wallet. Yeah.
God,
I just
I know, like you're speechless.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. My gosh.
And so here we go. The comments on this were great. Amy said, in the Hallmark version, you'll end up falling in love with the roommate and you'll laugh at how you came together while frolicking in Germany. Creepy dude will be out of the picture after the first half hour of the movie. Yeah, that would be a Hallmark way. No, Bob, this isn't dorky. This is creepy. He lied to her to get her in his car, drove her an hour to the house where they were planning the wedding and the honeymoon. Then she had to get in the car back and drive back with him, and he stole her wallet. That's not the behavior of a dorky guy. That's something
psychopath.
Else.
That's psychopath behavior.
Hey, if it were a Lifetime movie, you know what would happen? She would end up with the guy that she hooked up with, right? And they would go to Germany, and they would be laughing. They're laughing at the ants. They're laughing at his nerdiness and all of that.
and they're out there enjoying the beauty of Munich, and they're at a cafe, and they're having some coffee, and they look over, and quickly down an alley, was that guy? Was that that guy?
And now he's stalking. Now
he's stalking. I
mean, this is like, so everything about this was a deception. It was, oh, you can't go home for the holiday? Well, a bunch of us are going to my mom's. Why don't you come? Lie. That was a lie because he knew that she would not agree to go alone because she didn't know the guy all that well. They had just done some group projects together in school. So he knew he had to trick her to get her into the car, to get her to the location. I think if that were me in college, I would have done exactly what she did. If that were me today, I would have excused myself, gone to the bathroom and called an Uber and paid whatever it would cost to get that Uber back to campus. I wouldn't even get back in the guy's car. Awful. It's so awful. Yeah. But one of the other Twitter comments was, no, Hallmark did a movie called Holiday in Handcuffs. You're good. They can work with this. It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store.
Wish you were here.
To find great deals down every aisle.
Wish you were here.
We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry grocery totes, phone cases, shirts, nightshirts, caricature mugs, scones from the Scone Goddess, water bottles, True Weird Stuff merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime.
Time of a lifetime.
The Bob and Sherry store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Not long ago, I did this thing, things that are normal to men and yet astounding to women. Would you like to hear a few more of them? You seem to enjoy them before. Yeah. All right, here we go. A guy has a get-together, some of his buddies, you know, buddies he's known for years. They hang out, they shoot pool, they drink some beer, they spend hours together. They do not take one single photograph of the experience. That is so true. That is so true. My wife documents everything that she does, starting with the drink that arrives at the table. Struggling to do something in public and no one comes over to assist you. That is true for guys. Because I saw a guy, the shopping bag let loose and stuff was falling all over the place in the parking lot. Nobody came over to that guy. I was in the next parking lot and I couldn't help. But no, people were walking right by him. If that was a woman, I think she would have been helped. I like to think so anyway. Men do not socialize, talk, or bond with other guys in the men's room. That is very true. And I'm just guessing, but I think women do, don't they? Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
The only time guys do, if they're at a sporting event.
Oh, because they have something neutral.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Guys do not or rarely talk about their problems unless they need a solution to get something done. Like, you can't figure out how to put the new gutter in or something. You might ask your next-door neighbor or
somebody. Mechanical fix or something, yeah.
But if it's a mental block that you can't get over, I don't think I've ever had it. I told this to Marion, she's a therapist, and she couldn't believe it. I don't think I've ever had a friend come to me and say, you know, this is really hanging me up. Can you help me with this? Have you ever had that? Now, Max, you work with a lot of people, so maybe you have. Lamar, have you had a guy say, help me with this issue that's driving
me crazy? I'm with a couple of close friends, But, I mean, it's not just... These are close friends. You got to be really close. Two guys have got to be pretty close for that to happen, I think. Don't you, Max?
Yeah,
you got to be close. Got to be close.
And the final thing is men just don't know how to get across that flirting is so anxiety-laden. Just when you're meeting somebody for the first time or if you're approaching somebody to go out, it is really, really pressure time, and it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.